Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app and on your smart speaker.
Lions Daily on TalkSport 2.
Good evening, I'm Hannah Wilkes and this is the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2. One test match played, one win for the Lions over South Africa. An absolute nail-biter it was too. 22-17 the final score, and over the next hour we'll be hearing from the Lions camp, from both players and coaches, and getting their thoughts on the game. Plus, England and Newcastle fullback Mike Brown is going to be with us as well. What did he make of the match yesterday? In particular, what did he think of how the Lions back three got on? We'll be chatting to him about absolutely everything, and we're also hearing the views of the fans. What did they think of the Lions' opening test victory? So we'll get straight into it then, shall we? The first test is done and dusted, and it is advantage Lions. It might not have been pretty, it might not have been perfect, but a win is very much a win. They beat South Africa in the first test. Here's how it all sounded on TalkSport.
Welcome along for this one. After a series of would it or wouldn't it moments and should it or shouldn't it discussions, the Castle Lager 2021 Lions Series is about to get underway. Three tests to all be played in Cape Town between the world champions and the best of the British and Irish Isles. Cape Town known as the Mother City. Well, it's ready for the mother and father of all battles. Nick Berry blows the whistle and Dan Bigger will get the 2021 Lions Series underway.
If you had any doubt that we were in a massive test match, that last phase of play shows it. It was incredible from start to finish. Elliot Daly is folded up like a travel map.
I think my ribcage is sore already and I'm only watching this. Pollard steps up right-footed, strikes it cleanly, strikes it through. The first points of the test series go to the home side. 13 minutes played, South Africa 3, British and Irish Lions 0. Andre Pollard with the penalty. Stuart Hogg in the back line. It's Dan Bigger. Finds Robbie Henshaw. Robbie Henshaw's carved it wide open. Gets up to the edge of the 22. Then the ball is stripped out of his hands. Craft de Klerk will put it out over the sideline. And that will do it for the first half of the first test in this three-test series. Four penalties from Andre Pollard. One from Dan Bigger is the only scoring in the first half. 12-3. They lead the British and Irish Lions at half-time.
2018 was the last time the South Africans lost a second half.
Oh my.
And
God,
that was only 6-3 against England. So they are the best team at holding on to a lead, and that'll be a big worry. But it's only 12-3, and the Lions, if they can sort things out, they've got a second half to come out, fresh jerseys on, and start the game again.
Be within one score going into the last 10, 15 minutes of the game, and the Lions will fancy themselves. So they've just got to be very careful in this first 10, 15 minutes of the second half. The scoreboard doesn't run away from them.
Courtney Laws wins the line out. The Lions 3, South Africa 12, here on TalkSport. Luke Cowan-Dickie has the ball at the back. This is better set up from a Lions point of view. Now the backs are going to get involved as well. They're up. They're a metre short of the line. They're up to the line. Are they over it? Try scored! First try of the test series goes to the British and Irish Lions, and they absolutely needed it.
Nobody stops him from that distance. So great news, just to start the Lions wanted.
Faf de Klerk is back on his own 10-metre line. Back to Willy Larue, left-footed. That's a nothing kick. That's just sort of been lobbed up into the air. Where's it bouncing? It's bounced off of a Lion's hand into the hands of Damian Dialende. He's given it to Lukanyo Arm. It's a kick through. It's a foot race to the corner. South Africa through. Billy LaRue will score the try. The try is going to be called off. South Africa are up and over the line. Faf de Klerk has put the ball down in the in-goal area. Alan Wynne-Jones cannot believe it's been given, but TMO Marius Jonker has said he could see no reason to not allow it. Just a couple of moments ago, Billy LaRue was denied a try. That on 46 minutes. This occasion, the TMO has ruled in South Africa's favour. It's South Africa 17, British and Irish Lions 10. Dan Bigger, ball on the tee, right-footed, steps up. Always made great contact. Up and on the way, flags go up. The Lions lead for the first time in the first test. 63 minutes played here on TalkSport. South Africa 17, British and Irish Lions 19. Farrell waits. Draws the line to the post with his eyes, steps forward, right-footed, it's up, it's on the way, it's straight between the posts. Owen Farrell's first kick of the afternoon goes straight between the uprights and makes it South Africa 17, British and Irish Lions 22. Reinhard Elsand takes the ball into contact, it's squirmed loose, the Lions have it, they pounced on it, Conor Murray passes it back to Stuart Hogg, Stuart Hogg whacks it into the stands, and that is it! The Lions will win the first test of the series against South Africa in Cape Town. They've only led it for a matter of minutes, but it doesn't matter. It's who leads when the final whistle goes, and the British and Irish Lions take a 1-0 lead in the series. They trailed 12-3 at halftime, but Luke Kalanicki's try 3 minutes into the second half, along with three penalties from Dan Bigger and a conversion, and Owen Farrell's penalty 3 minutes from time, mean that the British and Irish Lions are successful in the first test. They go 1-0 up. Full time at Greenpoint Stadium, Cape Town. South Africa 17, British and Irish Lions 22.
How great did that sound? I feel for Andrew McKenna today. I have a feeling his voice might be a little bit sore. We heard from James Haskell as well, Martin Williams, Ben Kay, some of our great lineup taking you through the first test yesterday evening across the TalkSport network. Alfie Reynolds, as always, is with me. Alfie, you, in fact, were with Martin Williams yesterday. We'll talk about where and how you watched the game a little bit later on, because I think you got a pretty sweet deal yesterday afternoon, just to tease that up. But great game, breathless game, stressful game, had a bit of everything, and to use a sporting cliche that is so apt on this occasion, a game of two entirely different halves. It was almost like the Springboks and the Lions swapped at half time, because the Lions had a dreadful start, a messy start, came out firing on all cylinders in the second half, while South Africa just faded away.
I feel like there's so much to get into with this game today as well.
I don't know where to start. I'm quite excited and panicked by fitting it all in the next hour or so.
Well, we're going to do our best at that. Let's start then with the first half compared with the second half, because where I was watching it, and as you mentioned, we'll get onto a bit more of that later and the fan reaction and all that sort of stuff, but there were a lot of groans. You just felt like the Lions couldn't get any sort of handle on the game, really. They had very little of that opening period, but they were able to, you know, get a penalty. And then the second half was so different. Let me ask you, what did you have a theory or a feeling on why that might be? Because fitness is what comes to mind for me.
For the second half?
Yeah, why we saw that difference.
Completely down to fitness. Mm. I think in the second half, I think that the Lions' first half and their sort of slow start is quite characteristic of Lions teams. It is something that does happen more often than not when you get these first tests. The second half, though, it came down to fitness for me. You could tell that the Lions have been training hard, that their fitness is there. Don't forget as well, they've been preparing as though they're going to be playing two test matches at altitude, which means you prepare with a lot of intensity and do a lot of sort of pressure chamber and air chamber and all that sort of work, which when you're back at sea level is going to put you in a really good stead. Where South Africa, on the other hand, we know how disrupted their preparation has been. Five of the starting 15 have been in isolation for COVID over the last few weeks. Yes, these guys are fit. Yes, we know they were able to train individually, but that is going to take its toll, because there's a difference. And Ben Kay said this actually on Friday, on the kickoff show on Friday night on TalkSport, that you training and being able to get out and do your training individually is one thing when you're in that sort of isolation situation, but it's nothing compared to a full training session for one. And also a test match, on the other hand. And I think that's what showed. I thought what was interesting as well, within the South African setup, Faf de Klerk played a full Premiership rugby season. he was the only one that did not fade away. His fitness was there. The rest of the guys, they were struggling. I think it'll be different next week, but for me, it came down to fitness.
And that'll be one of the interesting elements. Is that 80 minutes now enough for South Africa to be closer to the Lions in that they don't fade away quite as much? Very, very fascinated to see how that goes next Saturday.
Absolutely, because also in a week, how much can you actually do with pure fitness in mind? But as we say, it was a game of two halves. It was extreme, I think, the difference in the Lions in particular from one half to the other. So you've got to think, what on earth was Warren Gatland saying at half time? He was asked about what his message was to the players after the game.
You know, we're still in the arm wrestle. We just, if Dan Bigger had kicked that penalty 12-6, so, you know, we're down 12-3 and kind of just said we're giving away a few soft penalties, allowed them opportunities. Let's keep our patience. Let's stay in an arm wrestle. We will get chances. Don't try and force things. And I thought that second half went on. We got stronger and stronger, and you know, got ourselves back into the game. And it was a really tough, tight test match. And bound to the ball, it could have got anyway. And thankfully, you know, we've come from behind and finished really strongly. And I thought the last few minutes we were excellent.
A couple of things from what you said there, and we will talk about how the Lions built and improved and did take their chance in the second half. Discipline, though, and most importantly, lack of it from the Lions in that first half. They gifted, essentially, South Africa those 12 points they had on the board, didn't they?
Yeah, and you mentioned it previously as well in that they started slowly, and I think the discipline was a part of that. We saw some fairly sloppy penalties coming in, and it, as I mentioned, it just wasn't going the Lions' way. But I think not only did the Lions play better in the second half, I think they outcoached South Africa as well in terms of the replacements Warren Gatland make and the difference that made to the game. And they were very, I mean, it is a great victory, not just because they won the first test and we know the significance of that, but to come from behind in that game with how the game was going, to be able to turn the tide like that and turn the momentum into your favour is really, really impressive.
Yeah, and South Africa don't generally lose in the second half of games if they've got the lead at half time. I think as well, the difference in that second half, it was a confident, quicker start. You think there was the run chase, a penalty awarded in South Africa half, and Alan Wynne-Jones made that bold call as captain. We're not going for the posts, even though we want to start closing that gap. They went for the corner, and lo and behold, a couple of minutes later, Luke Cowan-Dickie gets the ball down across the try line. It was those calls, it was that confidence that was obviously still there, and it was obviously those adjustments made that we know we've got the skills, we know we've got the game plan. The set piece and the maul were not working in the first half, but then to score from a line out and then that sort of rolling of bodies across the line in the second half is exactly what the Lions needed to know they could do. And you saw, if you watched the pictures or watched the highlights, how much it meant to every single guy in a red shirt when Luke Cowan-Dickie got that ball down.
And Luke Cowan-Dickie's a great example, because coming into the match, he hadn't missed a line out all tour so far, but a few went astray, perhaps didn't have his finest game. But, you know, second half, got a try and looked a really strong performance. He kind of typified the turnaround, I think.
Can you believe we've done our first part of this show reflecting on this test and we haven't yet talked about Mauro Itoje and Courtney Dawes? And we've got to take a break, Alfie.
We will get to our standout performances later. But there were a lot for the Lions, and you're absolutely right. We will be speaking about Mauro Itoje and Courtney Dawes a little bit later.
They were absolutely superb. It's the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2 with the famous Grouse, the Spirit of Rugby 18 plus B drink aware. No one gets you closer to the Lions this summer. We're bringing you all the build-up, all the expert views, analysis, the passion of the fans, and of course, live commentary of all the test matches on TalkSport as the Lions take on the world champion Springboks in South Africa, and so far beat them in their own backyard. Next, we're going to be joined by England and Newcastle fullback Mike Brown.
Beautiful hands of Brown. Past one, past another, and into the corner goes Mike Brown.
Brown thinks about giving it to Chisholm, and then it opens up for Brown. Brilliant from the fullback.
And it's going to take some stop in this, and Taylor will. Oh, no, he won't. Mike Brown has just prevented the first try of the match.
He is one of the all-time Premiership greats. Over 350 appearances for Harlequins, 72 England caps, and he'll be playing in the North East next season with Newcastle Falcons. I'm delighted to welcome Mike Brown, who's a Land Rover ambassador, onto Lions Daily. Mike, a very good evening to you. Like us here in the studio, are you basking in the glory of a Lions victory yesterday evening?
Hi, Hannah. Thanks for having me on. Hope you're well. Yeah, the guys did well, didn't they? You know, I think like most Lions fans, I was a bit worried at half time, but, you know, it really was a game of two halves, wasn't it? You know, South Africa really started off well, really stamped their authority in the game in that first half. But, you know, the Lions really turned it around in the second half and came away with a win.
They certainly did. I have to say, actually, that, you know, despite always wanting to feel more confident and comfortable, I'd much rather the team I'm rooting for be 12-3 down at halftime than up, to be honest, because you just think that's not that much in rugby, and it's just, it can so easily go so horribly wrong. I'm interested to know where you watched the game yesterday, and how is it for a guy like yourself that's been involved in some huge rugby matches? Like, are you a good spectator of these kind of games, or do you find it just too stressful and thinking what you'd be doing on the pitch?
Yeah, I was watching it at home, just with my family. But yeah, you know, like every other Lions fan, I was enjoying the build-up all through the week, looking at what's being written about the players and, you know, all the build-up that goes with that, and, you know, all the looking at all the different battles that were going to, you know, happen on the weekend. And then, yeah, just enjoyed the game as a fan. Yeah, loved every moment of it. You know, I've grown up since the age of 5-6 years old, watching Lions games with my family and things like that, so it's no different now.
That is why we love the Lions, isn't it? Because everyone's got those memories of it getting you into maybe rugby, or definitely into what the Lions is all about. What's your earliest Lions memory? Can you remember?
I think it was 97, Jerry McGuscott's drop goal. Yeah, that Lions tour really stuck out for me, and, you know, things like Matt Dawson's dummy and try in the corner. Obviously, Jeremy Guscott's drop goal to win it. Neil Jenkins kicking. I think he was the old school kick off the sand back in those days as well. You know, it's all those different things, you know, really stick out for me. And that was definitely my earliest memory.
Yeah, there's all those iconic moments, aren't there, as well, that as soon as someone mentions them, you can just see them in your head so clearly. There's nothing quite like a Lions tour. We'll talk about the match as a whole in a minute, like you say, and I said myself earlier on the show as well, very much a game of two halves. But I want to talk to you about the back three, as it's an area you know so very well. Let's start, shall we, with Doohan van der Merwe, because there was a lot of talk in the build-up. He was perhaps one of the more debated selection choices by Warren Gatland. Lots of conversation about whether he'd be exposed. What did you make of his performance, and how do you think he got on?
Yeah, look, I think on the whole, he did his job well. I think the Lions would like him to have more impacts, especially in attack. He didn't quite manage to do that like he has done on the tour, which earned him that deserved place in that first test. You know, he's such a dangerous, destructive runner with his size and his speed. So I think if I was the Lions, I'd be looking to get him involved a lot more if he's picked for that second test. But in terms of the aerial battle, I think the back three did okay. I think the first half, the South Africans were probably winning the aerial battle and the territory battle. But then in the second half, they did a lot better. They won a lot more ball back in terms of the aerial challenge. And that paid off in the end for them.
With that sort of getting involved a bit more, and there's an argument to make it as well about Anthony Watson, your former England teammate who had a pretty quiet game by his standards. For a winger, how can you get more involved in the game and really make your own mark on it if you're not quite getting the service and the ball?
Yeah, to be honest, I think it was the wingers on both teams. I mean, Colby as well, you know, how amazing is he when he's on the ball? And I don't think he had any carries really, so I think it was both sides just couldn't get their wingers in the game. So I think it's, you know, they need to just try and as much as they can move off their wing, try running off nine, you know, inside balls off 10, just try and get involved as much as they can, little cheeky pick and goes from the base of a ruck, just try and have as much impact as possible. But it's easier said than done, you know, those sort of games, you know, it can be so hard to get involved, and you don't want to you don't want to force it too much, because, you know, then as a back three player, you start chasing the game and you miss where you're supposed to be. You miss where you're supposed to be in attack normally. So you don't want to start chasing the game and missing other opportunities by doing that. So it is hard. You have to get that balance. But, yeah, just trying to get in as much as you can and try and have as much impact as you can off 9 and 10.
What did you think of Stuart Hogg's performance? Because as well, he was one of those sort of raised eyebrow selection when the team was leaked and then announced earlier this week, particularly, you know, Liam Williams, both of them top quality options, but Liam Williams had such an impact for the Lions previously. How did you think Hoggy fared at the back?
Yeah, both world-class players, aren't they? Embarrassment of riches there, but, you know, Hogg got the nod. And yeah, on the whole, again, I think he did well. I think in terms of, you know, his super strengths in his counter-attack and his attacking play and getting his speed and stepping and involved, he didn't get as much opportunity as he'd like to. You know, the South African kick chase was really good. That's one of their strengths, isn't it, to kick well and then put teams under pressure with their kick chase. But, you know, he dealt with it the best he could on most occasions. There was one scary moment where he threw a ball in looking to move it and it kind of went to the floor, didn't it, off the next pass. And it could have very easily have come off with a try for the South Africans, but luckily it didn't. But apart from that, yeah, he did his job. He did his job the best he could, I think.
You need a little bit of luck to win a test match, don't you? And actually, Ben Kay was part of the TalkSport team covering the game yesterday. And looking at the game as a whole, rather than just focusing on the back three, he said, listen to this, that the Lions did get a little bit lucky.
The Lions rode their luck, didn't they? There were a couple of key decisions that went their way and a couple of spills when they were under real pressure. But if you, statistically, if you look at the comparison between first half and second half, South Africa just stopped playing. And whether that's a fatigue thing because they haven't had the right sort of preparation, but the challenge that the Lions faced, they couldn't get any momentum in the game. And fair play, they came out in the second half and they started playing with tempo, and South Africa rocked back onto their heels. They couldn't get that dominant defence. And once the Lions got in front, they did a fantastic job of staying there.
We've talked already today that about how you get a bit of luck. We'll touch on the TMO decisions, but do you find, Mike, and you've been involved in so many games of rugby over the course of your career, some of them, you know, a lot on the line, is it a case of that those sort of quote unquote lucky decisions, if we take the TMO out of it, at least for the purpose of this discussion, they do tend to favour the team that are playing better, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. I think you do find that, you know, the team with the momentum are going to get a bit more of the luck, a bit more of the ref's decisions. You know, if you're going forward, you're winning the physical battle, the territory battle, it's naturally, the bounce of ball seems to then you go your way, or the ref's decisions seem to go your way. I think the main decision yesterday for me was the Willie LaRue try. I think that could have very, very easily gone the other way. And I'm sure South Africa feel desperately unlucky it didn't. You know, the on-field decision from the referee was a try. So then off the back of that, there has to be a clear and obvious reason why you can't give the try. And for me, that wasn't a clear and obvious in front of the kicker from Willie LaRue. So I think, you know, if they do feel aggrieved, it's probably on that decision. But, you know, that wasn't the reason why they lost the game. For me, that second half, South Africans, like Ben Kay said, they kind of not stopped playing, but they kind of stopped doing what they were good at, or weren't able to do what they were good at because the Lions kind of worked them out. And then I think fatigue for them just set in. That intensity that was there in the first half just wasn't there. It dropped off. And I guess that could be down to the COVID situation. It could be down to, you know, isolation, not having the preparation that they would have wanted, the lack of game time, I think, as well. So that's all things you need to take into consideration, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And things they'll be looking to address as much as they can next week. So you're sort of on the Willie LaRue side of things, that was not maybe clear and obvious enough for the TMO to overturn it. What did you make of the couple of other big sort of TMO decisions? We had the second try for South Africa that was disallowed. That one was a more obvious knock-on, wasn't it? Chesson Colby knocking on the ball and Diolandi's try then being disallowed. That one you struggle to disagree with, right?
Yeah, I think that and the other decisions were spot on, to be honest. But yeah, Colby 100%, he knocked that forward, didn't he? He pulled the ball down and it clearly went forward. That was clear and obvious for everyone to see. So yeah, I think the rest of the decisions that come to mind, the main ones, were all spot on, to be honest.
I mean,
but yeah, I think maybe yeah, there was all that talk in the week of it being a South African and things like that. So maybe he got into the head of the TMO at the crucial point.
I think that could have been some very well played Warren Gatland mind games, that is for sure. Hamish Watson, I'm loath as a British rugby fan, an Irish rugby fan, supporter of the Lions, to draw too much attention to it. But was Hamish Watson lucky to stay on the pitch after that tackle?
Yeah, actually, yeah, you're probably right. That's another big decision, wasn't it? And yeah, I think so. Looking at, you know, how hot on those sort of things they've been in the Premiership this season, I think he's very, very, very lucky to have stayed on the field. So that's another one that South Africa would, you know, feel very harshly done by, because, you know, you're in trouble as soon as you lift someone's leg like that and they land on anywhere near their head or their shoulder. You're going to be really risking a red or yellow card, just like shoulders to the head. Now you have to be so careful. So yeah, I'm sure he was sweating at that point whether he'd be staying on the pitch, but you know, he got away with it, and that's the kind of luck sometimes when momentum's going your way and things are going your way, you come on the right side of it.
You have to make the most of these things when they do go your way, because so often they don't. So a win's a win. We know the importance of getting the first test won in a Lions series. It's so hard to come back from a first test loss. Warren Gatland, is he going to make changes this week? Would you make changes? Because we saw the impact as well that the bench had. It was phenomenal, especially the front row when those changes were rung. Mako Vinopola had a storming performance, just to name but one. But Warren Gatland's alluded to it as well, hasn't he? He said there are other combinations available. Does he stick or does he twist?
Yeah, I think looking at that first half, there is definitely things that they probably need to look at changing. I think, like you said, I thought the bench were outstanding, especially the front row, the way they came up on and shored up the scrum, because that was a struggle in that first half. And then Murray and Farrell, the way they came on and saw out the game with their brilliant game management. I thought they did an outstanding job, and that's exactly the reason why they were on the bench. But yeah, just looking at the front row, I'd change that. All three of them, to be honest. I think Cowan Dickey probably didn't have his finest game with his throwing, and you need the line out against, you know, teams like South Africa. And then the scrum, there was clearly an issue there. There was a lot of penalties against. You know, that South African front row did an unbelievable job. I'm surprised they went off so early, to be honest, because they were doing a brilliant job. So I'd look at changing the front row, and I'd have Sink and Mako in there.
Yeah.
Probably Ken Owens at hooker. And then I'm not sure Elliot Daly had his finest game at 13, in my opinion. So I'd probably look at a different combination in centres there, whether you bring Aki in at 12 and Henshaw, move him to 13, or change someone up at 13 there. Yeah, the Scottish lad, his name eludes me at the minute. But yeah, Chris Harris.
Yeah, I'd
put him in there. Yeah, he's a great option to have in there. You know, I see him as kind of a glue player. He seems to make everyone around him play really well, because he just sticks to his basics, does his job at such a high standard. So he's another great option at 13. And also his defence is unbelievable. So yeah, I think those two areas are probably the ones I'd look at, mainly at changes.
Well, Warren Gatland, if you're listening, Mike Brown is advised on the changes for the second test. Look, Mike, obviously Newcastle Falcons for you next season. Bit of a change after so long at Quins. How is the move up north? How are you all settling in?
Yes, it's very different to what I'm used to down south. I've been here about a week now, and I've just about managed to work out where the local Waitrose is, and that's about it. Yeah, so, you know, just trying to explore the area and things like that. And then, you know, we had a team barbecue today, so it was great to kind of meet most of the lads that I'll be, you know, spending a lot of time with. And I'm into pre-season tomorrow. So, yeah, I'm just looking forward to getting stuck in and experience a new environment, experience a new place to live with my family and things like that. And, yeah, just ready to rip in and get stuck into pre-season.
Yeah, well, we wish you the very best. Hope preseason doesn't beast you too hard to start with, especially on day one. Hope they ease you in. But Mike, thank you so much for joining us on the Lions Daily. An absolute pleasure to speak to Mike Brown. He's a Land Rover ambassador. You can join Land Rover's Lions Adventure this summer at www.lionsadventure.com and follow them on social media at Land Rover Rugby. It is the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2 with the famous grouse, the spirit of rugby, 18 plus, be drink aware. TalkSport has commentary of every single test match between South Africa and the British and Irish Lions. Two more still to come, plus daily Lions programmes every evening on TalkSport 2 and a big old warm-up show on a Friday night on TalkSport. Next up, we're going to delve a little bit deeper into some of those controversial TMO decisions in the match yesterday.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Well, the Lions weren't overly happy that Marius Jonker got picked to do TMO duties. It's supposed to be Brendan Pickerel of New Zealand.
It's a foot race to the corner. South Africa through. Billy Leroux will score the try. The Lions will be distraught with that.
The try is going to be called off.
Oh, I think the Lions have got away with one there.
I think Ben Kay's exactly right. I think you've hit the nail on the head there.
And it's a leg lift that's been given.
That is not good. That is above vertical. Hamish Watson's got to know better than that.
That was a big moment in the game. I'm not sure if it was a red card. By the letter of the law, potentially it could have been. I think they probably would have settled for a yellow, but the Lions definitely got away with one again there.
The detective work of the TMO and Pink Panther vibes on a Sunday evening on TalkSport 2. Who'd have thunk it? It was a talking point before the match. It's an even bigger talking point after the match. The TMO. Usually, it stays out of the headlines, really, in rugby, or at least it's not quite such of a headline-stealing aspect of the game. Just to recap, though, in case you somehow missed it, South African TMO Marius Jonker stepped into the role of fourth official after New Zealander Brendan Pickerel was unable to travel due to COVID restrictions. An element, I have to say, you struggle to understand how it wasn't a potential hiccup or stumbling block in the world we currently live in. Anyway, the Lions were very unhappy that there was no plan B, but did it, and the subsequent sort of toys out the pram nature of it, lead to decisions going in their favour? We heard some of the controversial calls there. We heard the thoughts of James Haskell and Ben Kay there as well. And Alfie, we had this discussion on Friday evening, I think, when we did the kickoff show on TalkSport. And Ben Kay actually kind of said, no matter what Marius Jonker does now in the game, he's either going to be biased because he's South African, or he's going to go the other way and be overcompensating to not be biased against the Lions. And you get the sense that might have been, on a couple of these occasions, kind of what happened. I think especially when you look at the first disallowed try, and we've heard as well the Willie LaRue try, we've just heard from Mike Brown as well, saying, you know, it wasn't clear and obvious. You look at the footage, you look at the replays, there was a slightly forward pass that definitely wasn't clear and obvious until you saw it from the right camera angle. So for the referee on field, beyond what he could definitely call. And even the Willie Roux being offside for the kick as well. Again, not necessarily clear and obvious until you look at the right angle, which isn't what TMO is supposed to do.
Yeah, well, Marius Jonker, I think, was hoping for no tight decisions, and it was not
that
the game.
That was never going to happen.
It did not deliver for him. So, yeah, first of all, the Willy LaRue try, as Mike Brown just said, I think South Africa understandably will feel frustrated by that. I didn't think there was the evidence to overturn it, and especially, as is always important in rugby, what did the referee ask? The referee said on-field decision is try, so therefore you need that evidence, as you say, for it to be overturned. And I just don't think there was that.
My only counterpoint to that is that when I saw the replays of it, I thought the forward pass was sort of more obvious than him being offside for the kick, if I'm being perfectly honest. Which they didn't really look at. And I think actually that it was less of a fine margin of a call if you look at that forward pass. Because if that's sort of what's being given as the reason, I think, well, actually with the footage you've got, yeah, it's a bit more clear and obvious. Yes, the referee might not be able to see it from the field. And I know I'm contradicting what I just said 2 minutes ago, but such is my right. But I think that was more obvious than him being offside for the kick, personally.
Quite possibly, yeah. I admit I didn't see it at first, but then I was messaging one of my friends and saying, can't believe we've got away with that when the try hasn't been awarded. And they said it's definitely a forward pass. And maybe that was something. Mm. The other one is the Hamish Watson kind of tip tackle as well. Yeah. Potentially yellow card there. It's not a red card, is it? But I think yellow card would have been fair.
You think he wasn't too high off the ground in a way, which I think makes it look less red card and more yellow. And you think if that had happened in the Premiership, particularly a Premiership final, even the Six Nations, I think he'd be definitely heading to the bin. Like, he definitely got away with one there.
And that is a fair point. Watching some of the Australia-France international matches over the last few weeks, and there was a red card for Corabetti, the Australian winger in one of those games. And the Australian commentators were saying, oh, that's essentially saying it's ridiculous, when actually I was thinking, well, if you watch any of the Premiership, that's a red card all day long. So maybe there's an element of that in there.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point. That difference between sort of North and South Hemisphere as well really does come into it. And why we need, you know, the neutral referee. It was Australian referee, so for him maybe it wasn't so bad at all. Right, should we hear from inside the Lions camp? I think we should. Assistant coach Gregor Townsend spoke with TalkSport's Neil Manthorpe after the match yesterday.
Gregor, a winner as a Lion 24 years ago and a winner again 24 years later. Any similarity?
Well, it's the same city, but very different in terms of the role you have in the coaching box to one year as a player. And obviously with no supporters here, it's different, but it still feels the same form for the players. They've came here, played the world champions and gone behind on the scoreboard, but found a way to win, found a way to get back into the game and showed a real togetherness to drive through to get that victory.
If you had a look at the Willy LaRue try, what did you think of the referee's decision?
Well, I think it was a TMO's decision, wasn't it? So for us, it looked like there was a fumble from Peter Steph de Toy beforehand. Maybe we could have looked at a couple more angles before he made that call. But I think we have to do better there. I think it was our attacking position that we let them get away from their 22 with a kick chase. So we know we have to tighten up in that area. But yeah, we didn't think it was a try in the coaching box.
Finally, it's been a interesting tour for you personally, not one that you're going to forget for a long time with your isolation and the time spent in the room. Can you just relax and enjoy this first win now for a week?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to a beer or two tonight. We're about 90 minutes away from here, a nice hotel. All the players will be and the management will be together tonight. We know we've got two tests to go and the Springboks will come out much harder, which you don't think it's possible, but it will be possible, and we've got to ready ourselves for that. But we've got to be better too. We want our best tonight. We found a way to win and take control of the game, but we know that there's an 80 minutes performance that'll come out, and let's hope it comes out next week.
I have to say, it's good to hear from Gregor Townsend that the intention was very much to have a beer yesterday evening, because when you're listening to the post-match interviews, a lot of the players, they were so very level-headed about it, and that's a reflection of the fact that it wasn't a good performance for 80 minutes. They got the job done, they got the win, that is what counts. But it was very sort of reflective and almost subdued, and you think, you know, no matter how you did it, you did just beat the world champions in the opening test match of a Lions series, and you've got to enjoy that.
I think they're keeping their cards close to their chest.
Aren't they?
I think they would have enjoyed themselves last night back at the hotel.
Let's hope so. Let's hope there were maybe a few foggy heads this morning before they went and gave it a little bit of a shake-off around the training pitch. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
What did you make of Townsend's opinions there as well, Alfie, on those TMO decisions? Very measured, very rational, and that actually that they, you know, they, if they go their way, as far as the coaching team's concerned, that's the end of the conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it was an interesting point speaking about the Detroit knock-on in the try that was given, because I saw that and thought, I thought that possibly went forward. Maybe, again, probably going back, I think the referee awarded the try, so maybe there wasn't enough evidence to overturn it. But they were kind of saying, we felt it was a knock-on there. That one didn't, you know, these things balance themselves out.
Sure.
Which I think with these decisions, personally, I don't know whether I'm just saying this as a British and Irish Lions fan, they didn't decide the game. I can understand the frustration from a South Africa perspective, but ultimately, it was South Africa massively dropping off in the second half is the reason they lost the match.
I could not agree with you more. And I think, you know, say Hamish Watson had been yellow carded for that tackle, was that going to change the outcome? Probably not. I don't think, because apart from, you know, a potential penalty or the rest of it, South Africa weren't playing well. They weren't going to create anything if it wasn't given to them really on a plate.
Yeah, and their energy had been dropping so much, hadn't it, that strangely, even with a man in the sin bin, I would have backed the Lions to be able to deal with it quite well, yeah, at that point in the game. It might have stopped some of their momentum for 10 minutes, but I don't necessarily think it would have opened the floodgates for South Africa to get back in the match.
You're listening to the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2 with the Famous Grouse, the Spirit of Rugby, 18 plus, be drink aware. Up next, we're going to hear from some of the Lions fans to hear what they had to say about the result. We'll also hear from Tommy Bowe and talk about Mara Toji and Courtney Laws, Alfie. We still haven't done it in 45 minutes. And we'll also hear some amusing moments from TalkSport's commentary.
Dennett and Exeter, it is kicking off on the final whistle there. The Dennett, Gareth Steenson, the former Exeter chief at Halfs Pub. This is how they celebrated that win. With a couple of drop pints.
I think we're really pleased. It was a really tough game. I thought South Africa were going to do it, but I think the substitutes really made a difference for the Lions.
No, I think the referee made the right decision. Hamish Watson, you know, is a player who's not conceded too many penalties in this series so far.
Sean Holly, before we hand back.
Hey, Alan, how many pints deep are you, by the way?
just the one to join in.
Someone skip breakfast.
Alan.
Second half, everything went haywire. The Lions just looked over, and let's hope the box picks up.
Can I just say that having had such a bad time over the last few months, the brewery trade today have had their best Saturday on record.
Oh my God. Shawsy, have you fed Alfie yet? Give him any scraps.
Absolutely, yes, Craig, to answer that question.
Give him something off the children's
menu.
He's
been well fed. He needed it, to be fair. Jesus, he's wasting away the ball.
Did you give him chicken nuggets?
How are you, chicken nuggets, Alfie? Fancy chicken nuggets?
I didn't have chicken nuggets, Anna.
I'm sure you didn't, because what a fantastic evening it was on TalkSport yesterday. Although I have to say, really struggled to understand what some of those fans were saying. Quite jealous as to how jolly some people were as they enjoyed that match. And that was just a snippet of the reaction we had. We had reporters all over the shop yesterday evening. Fantastic to hear everyone enjoying themselves and, like James Haskell said, giving the pub trade a good boost. Producer Alfie, I think, maybe got the plum deal of the whole situation. He was at the very fancy M restaurant in Victoria, Simon Shaw's restaurant, no less. So no chicken nuggets, Alfie. What was on the menu?
No, so I got given a steak and chips and salad. It was very, very nice, Hannah.
Nice.
But I was well behaved. I'm a consummate professional, so I didn't have anything to drink.
Not even a little tipple?
No, I didn't. I was professional as ever. But it was. Do you know what? It was a great evening yesterday for the game on TalkSport, I felt. You know, that little snippet of reaction, yes, it's a little bit silly, but you kind of got a sense of people enjoying themselves, which is really nice after the last kind of year or 18 months that we've had. And, we had reporters kind of in Scotland, in Exeter. I was in central London. It was good to hear, I felt.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you get the sense from all the coverage and the commentary yesterday as well, everyone from front to back was enjoying themselves. And that is the purpose of sport. And that is what a Lions tour is for. That's why people love it so much. And that's why we get so excited every 4 years. We are absolutely thrilled to be bringing you every moment of it on the TalkSport network. Alfie.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, Hannah, sorry.
Oh yeah.
Sorry,
I was going to move us on, but you carry on.
No, well, I was just going to say as well, I feel like this match as well, so the reaction from the fans and everything was great yesterday. I think it'll build now for the second test.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Partly because the Lions have won the first, but I just think earlier in the tour, the opponents hadn't been that great. So there's been no fans there as well. I think now we've had a first test match. I'm really looking forward to the next week heading into the second test. I think it's going to be great.
I agree. So, Alfie, we've been chatting about the first test now for about 50 minutes or so, the best part of an hour.
Yeah.
And I sit here as a Northampton girl, born and bred, and I feel like I'm going to be disowned by my hometown if I don't steer this conversation firmly in the direction of Courtney Laws and, in the same breath, Maro Itoje. Because those two guys, colossus human beings, fantastic rugby players, and absolutely superb for the Lions, particularly in that second half yesterday, weren't they?
Oh, it's a very fair observation. We have to get onto them and the other Lions players that played well as well.
But sure.
Let's start with Itoje and Laws, shall we? I know Laws kind of came off, but was immense, wasn't he? He was so good. It completely justified the Warren Gatland play. I know Courtney Laws has played kind of on the flank before, but essentially playing a second row in the number six jersey. It's as good a performance as I've seen him have. I know as a Northampton fan that you've probably seen a bit more of him than I have, but I thought he was excellent.
I've seen a lot of him. Mm. I can remember him making his debut for the Saints as a very tall, kind of skinny 17-year-old or whatever he was. And I have to say that I think it was one of his best performances, hand down, in any colour jersey. I think defensively, we know he's solid and he just cuts people in half all over the field. He was solid in the line-out as well. But his carries, he made 33 metres yesterday, 10 carries with the ball, and that adds so much to his game and contributes so much to the Lions as well.
And it's such a good point, because when we spoke to, it was Chris Parr, his former coach back in Northampton, when we spoke to him as part of our player profile feature, he mentioned that had been one of the criticisms or constructive bits of feedback that Courtney Laws got from Eddie Jones when Eddie Jones took over as England, was to improve his carrying. I think that's an area of his game that has really improved over the last kind of 4 years or so. Because he's, as you say, he's always been known as someone who absolutely smashes people, but he's added other elements now. And I thought yesterday he was superb.
Itoje then. He also absolutely phenomenal throughout the game, really, actually. It wasn't even just, you know, that he stepped up. And I think for me, the thing that stood out again about his performance is that, you know, you think of tries and big penalty kicks being the moments that turn games. But his work at getting turnover ball was game-changing.
He's one of those players, isn't he, that you just know he would be awful to play against.
Oh, God, it'd be a nightmare.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? He's such a nuisance, but he is so good. And I do think that once the dust settles, maybe on the series, perhaps depends to a degree of if the Lions go on and win the test series overall. But it could be one of those performances that's remembered in a Lions jersey. You know, he is that sort of guy. He is, you know, we speak about Alan Wynne-Jones as a talismanic figure, but I think Maro Itoje in his performances is laying down similar kind of markers.
I think as well, Maro Itoje rarely has a bad game, particularly
totally.
in an England shirt, for example. He was matched up against Eben Etzebeth, who, it has to be said, silenced him in the World Cup final 20 months ago. Maro Itoje could not find a way through, couldn't really sort of match up against him as we're used to seeing him do. And I think in that battle, which is such a key battle with those two dynamos of the game, he won that battle, and hopefully he'll win the war across three tests.
Yeah, and also early on in the first half, Etzebeth actually held up Itoje, turned it into a maul and turned over. I was listening to commentary and James Haskell said, oh, that's kind of one in the column for Eben Etzebeth. But after that, Itoje was excellent.
Yeah, he certainly was. Quick word as well. I mean, so many of these Lions players had great games yesterday. We could literally do about 15 minutes on each of them and we'd be here all night. I want to just talk briefly about Alan Wynne-Jones because we all know this story, thinking his tour was over after 7 minutes with that dislocated shoulder. We knew it was mind-boggling that he was back on tour. And yes, he played against South Africa A and he looked okay. The fact he played for full 18 minutes will have silenced any doubters as to whether he is match fit, because he played the whole game and he was getting stuck in all over the shop.
Yeah, well, I was somewhat doubting it in the build-up this week, just saying, look, he played 7 minutes against Japan, 20 minutes, 30 minutes in the final warm-up game. Is he ready to be thrown back in? It is ridiculous, isn't it? I think I almost couldn't believe it.
I would like to have some medical proof that he is in fact human. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, have we checked? Is he made of flesh and blood the same way the rest of us are? Because it's ridiculous.
Yep, 10 test appearances now for the Lions. The first player in the professional era to do that. I think
good
says
term.
It. I mean, I think that says it all, though, doesn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah.
There are legends that have done it in the past when the game was amateur. But what these players' bodies go through now over a career, to have the longevity and be at the top of your game long enough to get 10 test caps for the Lions, frankly, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And we can't wait to hopefully see him again next week. Jack Conan as well, I know you were impressed with at number
yeah.
8, which you're considering as well. We talked at length last week about the back row being a combination that we hadn't seen before, and it all went pretty well there, bar a couple of Tom Curry mistakes early on.
Yeah, Jack Conan, I thought, was kind of low-key excellent in that he's maybe not going to get the praise of Laws and Atoje and those guys, but I thought he was really, really good at number 8. I thought his carrying was impressive. He does a lot of kind of basics and off-the-ball stuff that maybe goes a bit unnoticed, so I would expect him to remain in that number 8 jersey for the second test.
One more for me, if I may.
Absolutely.
And then we have pretty much done half the team. But Tag Furlong, he's becoming like a cult figure, yeah, isn't yeah. he, as part of this Lions team. I thought he rose to the occasion, and he very much got the better of both the South African loose heads, which is a feat that cannot be underestimated.
I mean, he's world class, isn't he?
He really is.
To have him and Kyle Sinclair as your options, they're both brilliant. And Tag Furlong, as you say, I think when you look at the team sheet, you've got Maratojo's definitely on it, and Tag Furlong's in the same breath.
Shall we get some funnies in? Because we have had some fun on TalkSport over the last three
Absolutely.
Days.
Absolutely.
And James Haskell, God love him, has really bought the humour level. He's been compared. In the same breath, he can talk about Hamish Watson's mullet and his skills, and he was up to his usual tricks yesterday. He was back on co-commentary duty with Andrew McKenna, and he picked up on a little bit of play acting, a little bit of dramatics from Cheslin Colby.
That was awful play acting. I would have given that a C at GCSE drama from Cheslin Colby. What a great player. Terrible fake actor.
So that is James Haskell's acting reviews. I'm sure he can expect a sort of slot, maybe like a movie review slot or just any sort of acting performance in a national paper any day now.
I think there's no end to his talent, so I'd back
there
him
really
to do
are.
Anything.
And there's always the odd cliche, the curse of the commentator. We've all done it, we've all witnessed it, we've all cringed when we've heard them. James has picked up a way to get around that problem.
I might start, when I do this commentary, start saying the complete opposite thing, because everything I say that I want to happen never happens. I keep jinxing everybody.
Yeah, welcome to the world.
Macca with a sort of wry, you can always hear the wry smile there, like, yep, I spend my life cursing people through my choice of words. James, do us a favour though, do not talk in opposite land when you're doing commentary, because it'll get very, very confusing. Finally, as we've been speaking about throughout the show, the TMO was very much a point of contention. You know what the TMO in world rugby needs? James Haskell looking at the replays.
Well, the Lions weren't overly happy that Marius Jonker got picked to do TMO duties. It's supposed to be Brendan Pickerel of New Zealand. But because of COVID travel regulations, he couldn't make the journey. And the Lions were not upset that Marius Jonker got the gig. They were upset that World Rugby didn't have a backup place in plan, given the world we're living in yeah. with COVID, that there wasn't another neutral person who was available to do the job.
I'd go and do it. I suppose I'm not very neutral.
I don't think a former Lion constitutes
well,
being
They let
neutral.
Us Africans have a go at it, so why not? I mean, I'm just not sure I've got the composure. I don't know what I'd go, get him off, send him off.
He makes a fair point in terms of he's no more or less biased than a South African, but I'm not sure.
I just like the idea of him sending everyone off. That'd be amusing.
That's true. Don't care what the footage says. We're just going to send everyone off. Right, what a show. Alfie Reynolds, brilliant as ever. Thanks for your company. You've been listening to the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2 with the Famous Grouse, the spirit of rugby, 18+, be drink aware. Don't forget, Lions Daily is daily. Tim Cocker will be back at 5 o'clock tomorrow. That's Monday, with more reaction from this first test victory. And don't forget that TalkSport have commentary of every single test match between South Africa and the British and Irish Lions. The second test kicks off at 5 o'clock next Saturday. Do not miss it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.